relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news? Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Yes, indeed, we are back. Welcome, my friends. Happy Monday. I'm very grateful to John Gilliam, our buddy, former SEAL, former NYPD cop, former air marshal, for standing into the breach for me on Friday. As I guess you guys know, I had knee surgery, so I am hiding out in my secure bunker. I'm not in the studio today, but we are live because we can do this even with our leg in a brace. Thank you, John. And thank you especially to all of you who've DM'd me on Facebook, on Twitter, and have sent letters and little notes, and also who have used our text line to get in touch with me and wish me well. Thank you, guys. If you want to text us on any of the topics of the day here on America First, the number is 703-869-1262. We have a completely jam-packed show for you today. We will have Joe Concha in the first hour. We're talking to the White House. Hogan Gidley, the president, is in India right now. We're going to talk about that visit with the First Lady. Katie McEnany of the Trump campaign in the second hour. Dana Loesch. I don't think we've had Dana Loesch, the great Second Amendment's warrior princess, will be talking to us right after Kaylee. And then the one and only former NYPD and now with Newsmax, John Cardillo, will be with us in our last hour. But you are the most important part of the show. So write down our phone number. Let your views be known. Sound off here on America First. 1-833-33-GORKA, G-O-R-K-A. That's 1-833-334-6752 to call into the station, and then you will be connected to me. Let's talk about the breaking news, this incredible two-day visit to the world's largest democracy. More than 1.3 billion Indians, and they are excited about the president. You saw the video, I hope, of the First Lady coming down the steps of Air Force One with the president. That big hug between the president and Prime Minister Modi of India. There's a lot of similarity there. There are, you know, Trump-like figures around the world. Boris Johnson clearly is trying to do a Trump-like impersonation in the UK, and Modi is also about healthy nationalism and making India great again. And then the president went, I think, to the largest cricket stadium in the world in Ahmedabad in India, where 110,000 people came to listen to the president in what is being called the Namaste tour, the Namaste Trump tour, which, let me find my phone, because this is really fascinating, what Namaste actually means. I looked it up earlier today. Of course, it's a Hindi phrase, because that is the most popular language in India. And if you look at the etymology of the word, it's also a gesture, so you bow a little when you say it. But in Hinduism, when you say Namaste, as in Namaste Trump, it means I bow to the divine in you. Wow. I bow to the divine in you. That's quite something. That's the name of the tour. Official signs all over the country as he was traveling to the stadium with all the people who are applauding him. We need to listen a little bit, not only to what happened in India, but also to the Vegas rally. I hope you catched it. Incredible, incredible event. And we have people who were there from the Magic on Ice hockey game against the Soviet Union, caused a lot of attention amongst the snowflakes. They're not happy about the president inviting members of the team up to the stage, especially with their MAGA hats on. We'll share that with you later, but let's listen to what the president announced today in India. This is the president at that arena telling us why Trumpism is important and what's the connection between America and India. This is the president, cut one.
In the United States, we have also made clear that while our country will always welcome newcomers who share our values and love our people, our borders will always be closed to terrorists and terrorism and to any form of extremism. That is why we have taken historic steps to improve screening and vetting of applications for entry, and we are working to ensure that anyone who threatens the security of our citizens is denied admission and will pay a very, very big, costly price.
You hear the cheers, and then right after that, actually, as he came up onto the stage, I wanted to know, if you hadn't seen it, what music did the Indian hosts play as the intro music for the president of the United States? It was, of course, Macho Man. After Macho Man was played, both the anthems of the United States and India were played, and then the president announced a massive trade deal and also an arms deal. We're going to be selling $3 billion worth of state-of-the-art military equipment, including helicopters, to India, and then a huge, huge trade deal is promised. This is the president again from the world's biggest cricket stadium on his Namaste Trump tour. Cut two.
Over the course of my visit, Prime Minister Modi and I will also discuss our efforts to expand the economic ties between our two countries. We will be making very, very major, among the biggest ever made, trade deals. We are in the early stages of discussion for an incredible trade agreement to reduce barriers of investment between the United States and India. And I am optimistic that working together, the Prime Minister and I can reach a fantastic deal that's good and even great for both of our countries.
Staying on international issues, we need to mark today as the 75th anniversary of that absolutely crucial moment that emblazoned on the minds of all Americans on Mount Suribachi, when the United States Marine Corps raised the flag in the battle for Iwo Jima. That image that will stay for us forever occurred today, 75 years ago, on Mount Suribachi. Domestic news. Well, Bernie is in the lead, whilst Pete Buttigieg has asked for another recount in the Democrat primaries. We're coming close to Super Tuesday, and the man who is undoubtedly in the lead is an individual who honeymooned in the Soviet Union and thinks fondly of his time there, and truly is, if not rank, communist, socialist, and today, what's the difference? Lastly, somebody who I personally know, I have to make a note of this, Phil Haney died over the weekend. Phil Haney used to work in the Department of Homeland Security under the Obama administration, and he became a whistleblower. He was the individual who was key to pointing out what the Obama administration was doing in denuding DHS analysis of its capacity to look at the real threats that face us, and how the White House under Obama was putting a political filter over matters at DHS. Sadly, Phil, I think he was, 66 years old, was found 40 miles east of Sacramento this weekend and died from a gunshot, apparently a self-inflicted wound. Please, enough with the conspiracy theories. Let's wait and see. Let's give the investigative units a chance to come up with the answers, or what is the evidence with regards to Phil Haney. But a sad day. Let's pray for a man who really stood up in the face of political meddling in national security. I learned a lot from him. This is a man who we need more of, people who see the political poison in our system and stand up to those who are making us less safe. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. We are broadcasting from an undisclosed location with my leg up in a brace. But I am going to be here with you for the next 2.5 hours. Call me on 1-833-334-6752. Let your voice be heard on any issue of the day. This is America First.
CNN was never like this.
Brought to you in part by Created Equal, Clarence Thomas, in his own words.
Created Equal, an incredible film. Every conservative needs to see it now. The story of a man who grew up in the poverty of a black segregated South and then rose to the highest position in our system, judicially, of course. I mean, a Supreme Court Associate Justice. That's Clarence Thomas. His story of how the left trying to take him down, the disgusting behavior of Joe Biden when we witnessed what Justice Thomas called a high-tech lynching. This is an incredible film. I've seen it. I'm going to see it again. All conservatives need to see it in 2020. Go to justicethomasmovie.com for theaters, for times, and for tickets. That's justicethomasmovie.com. Everyone needs to see this film, JusticeThomasMovie.com. We are back here on America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump, and our first guest of the day. He is the best media analyst out there, media reporter for The Hill, one of those talking head types he describes himself as. He is, of course, Joe Concha. Follow him on Twitter at Joe Concha TV. Joe, are you with us?
Of course, Sebastian. How's your weekend?
I had knee surgery on Friday, so my weekend was a drug-induced haze of trying to stay horizontal, and I'm actually broadcasting from an undisclosed location because I'm not going to hobble into the studio. But with the wonders of technology, anything is possible. You are actually out hiking, I hear. I am in my secret location, and we're doing a live radio show. Isn't that incredible?
The wonders of technology. You may even go on TV tonight from your house. I hear you have that ability.
Yes, indeed. That may be. I'll hobble down to my studio, but stop giving my secrets away, Joe Concha. Let's get to work. We have so much to discuss. So there's this chappy out there called David Frum, who I don't know if he still calls himself a Republican, but he really hates Donald Trump. He was a speechwriter for the younger Bush president, and he was on CNN. Now, just a very short clip, and I really have to get Joe Concha's take on this. This is David Frum talking about the president. Cut five.
One of the things that Donald Trump tried to spread in 2016 was the idea that Hillary Clinton was somehow physically incapable of managing the presidency. I mean, it's audacious. Donald Trump was the oldest president ever, one of the fattest presidents ever, the least physically capable president since Franklin Delano Roosevelt was in a wheelchair. I mean, he can't pick up a ball, never mind throw it.
Strange. One of the fattest presidents ever. Not sure that's historically correct. Can't even pick up a ball. I find it strange they're constantly saying that the president's playing too much golf. But Joe Concha, is this what journalism should look like?
We're really raising the discourse level on Sunday mornings, aren't we? I mean, Tim Russert's rolling over in his grave. You're right. Like, what the hell is this? And that was on a media show, no less. What are they doing talking about the president's weight, which is irrelevant? If you're going to talk about the president's health, how is it that he only gets something like 4 hours of sleep a night, and yes, he maintains the schedule and the energy that he does? And then for Frum, he also said in that clip that Hillary Clinton was vigorously healthy, and people who attacked her for her health were conspiracy theorists. No. Quite frankly, Barack Obama, his doctor said that his neurologist, his doctor said that Hillary Clinton should get a neurology exam. And obviously we saw what happened after that 9/11 event. So what are we talking about here?
Right. So she, that famous photo that somebody, that video that somebody recorded on their phone of her literally collapsing as she was hustled into a van, not a limousine, not an SUV, but a van, which could have been some kind of medical facility for her. But let's just talk about one issue here. I worked for the man. I worked for him in campaign. I worked for him in the White House. If I had a quarter of the energy that Donald Trump has, I would be a happy man. I never saw him tired. He gets 3 hours of sleep a night. Just his schedule. He's doing 2 days in India. He's coming back. He's doing another rally. He's traveling again. Do we remember a president who had this much energy in modern history, Joe Concha?
Well, Sebastian, as you know, because you worked for him and you campaigned with him in 2016, he simply outworked his opponent.
Right.
Hillary Clinton, in that August, you remember, she campaigned something. I remember talking about this on Fox once. It was something like 12 out of 31 days she campaigned. And basically, she was just trying to run out the clock and take a knee, as they say in sports. And Trump was down. And remember, he went down to Louisiana. They had some floods down there. And he just looked like the guy who wanted the job more. And you do that because you're healthy. I understand he doesn't have the best diet, and neither do I. But the bottom line is that he's always up, he's always working, he's always on. And the question is, health is probably not the way you're going to beat him in 2020, particularly when the front runner on the Democratic side literally had a heart attack just 3 months ago.
So why is Frum saying this? Is it just personal for him? Is it animus? Is it another version of TDS, Joe Concha?
It's clicks and, getting retweeted and going viral and saying something as provocative as possible. It's this whole cottage industry, Sebastian, that we see in cable news, which is every Republican that you see on CNN and MSNBC hates the president. And you're like, oh, wow, that's supposed to give the image that even people in this party are completely repelled or repulsed by him. But the problem is that Gallup shows that his party loyalty rating, from people that vote that matter, is something around 94%. So what you see on cable news and what the feeling is on the ground in terms of conservatives, Republicans, whatever you want to call them, feelings towards the president are polar opposites.
Well, let's talk about that 94% because we have a doozy of an audio clip from that delightful homophobe Joy Reid on MSNBC, where she describes the qualities of those who support the president. This is Joy Reid, Cut 6.
On the Republican side, even though Donald Trump did not have a majority, the hungry constituency were white, a lot of white ethnic voters, North and South, who said, we're taking this country back from the brown people, the immigrants, we're getting rid of unlawful migration. We don't care what you say, how untoward it is.
Too.
The smarty pants, the college educated, forget them. We're the hungriest.
So basically, we're all racist if we support Donald Trump.
She's been saying that for years. And meanwhile, she has some old blog posts that she still never quite explained that were homophobic, that were anti-Semitic. She said that some hackers went back in a time machine and hacked their blog. So I don't listen to the Joanne Reeds in a world I don't listen to anymore because they're caricatures of serious people on TV. And you know what? Moving on, who cares what she has to say?
But these are people who have a platform and their employers don't seem to have a problem with it. You know, you are a media expert, Joe Concha. Are you surprised that these people keep on maintaining and having those platforms?
It shows you where the power is in almost every kind of news organization. It's not with the producers, and it's not even with the executives. It is with the so-called talent. And if they have a big enough Twitter following, and if Joy Reid does decent ratings on her Saturday and Sunday show, then she gets protection to say whatever she wants. And, you know, we saw what happened, obviously, with Chris Matthews this week, and I think you probably have a sound bite of that, I would imagine.
Yes.
And you'll see why you can say whatever you want, and there's no accountability whatsoever.
Yeah, we will save that for the next segment. We are talking to none other than Joe Concha. Check out his writings at The Hill, thehill.com, and follow this man on Twitter right now, Joe Concha, C-O-N-C-A-T-V. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. We are live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook, and also don't forget our website, sebgorka.com, where you can join my exclusive subscription service, Gorka's Cabinet. Join today for this show, all 3 hours without commercial breaks, behind the scenes videos and long form interviews you will not find anywhere else. That's sebgorka.com, and then the Gorka's Cabinet banner. Click today and join my cabinet. Back in a moment with Joe Concha here on America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from Relief Factor Remote Studios.
This is not fake news. This is not CNN.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
I know Sebastian well. Listen to him. He's with us.
Thank you, Mr. President. We are back here on America First, the Salem Radio Network, with our good buddy, Joe Concha, media analyst extraordinaire. Follow his writings at thehill.com. And also show this man some love on Twitter at Joe Concha TV. Joe, welcome back. I said I need your analysis on a couple of audio cuts from the weekend. The next one is Chris Matthews, MSNBC, talking about Bernie Sanders with a rather strange analogy. And I'd like you to explain to me how significant this audio cut is. Chris Matthews, cut 7.
Bernie, on the other hand, did his job. He got more than a majority. That is the name of the game. It is pretty much over unless that changes. I was reading last night, Brian, I know you're a history guy too. I'm reading last night about the fall of France in the summer of 1940. And the general, Renault, calls up Churchill and says, it's over. And Churchill said, how can it be? You got the greatest army in Europe. How can it be over? He said, it's over. So I had that suppressed feeling. I can't be as wild as Carville, but he is damn smart, and I think he's damn right on this one.
Chris Matthews, for me, Joe, is the establishment. He is the Democrat establishment, former speechwriter for Carter, worked on the Hill for Tip O'Neill. When he compares the rise of Bernie Sanders to the fall of France under the Nazis, how significant is that?
It is because of the candidate that he's talking about. At last check, Bernie Sanders is Jewish, and his whole family was wiped out by the Holocaust. So of the billion analogies that you could have used in that exact situation during live coverage of the Nevada caucuses, that's the one you use. And look, it's not just like this is a one-off. MSNBC people literally – I'm sorry, Sanders campaign people have literally said that MSNBC – is giving worse coverage to their candidate than Fox is.
Right.
And then you have Carville on there who's saying it's going to be the end of days if Bernie Sanders gets the nomination and that Vladimir Putin is helping to get him the nomination, which is enough with the Russia thing already and saying that they're interfering in our elections and impacting votes. It didn't happen in 2016 as far as changing one vote. That's what Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein said.
Right.
It's not happening again. If it is, it is on a small level. So enough of this already. But yeah, there is a decided bias against Bernie Sanders and his supporters on that network, and now they know exactly what the Trump people and their supporters and the deplorables were saying in 2016. And so here's the funny part, Sebastian. Who now does the media root more against, Bernie or Trump? Usually
yes.
They pick a side. They can't even pick one now because they hate Bernie, or at least they think he's going to lose. They don't want him to be the nominee.
But I still need to stay on this issue of how this is absolutely, they're calling the socialist who honeymooned in the Soviet Union, a Nazi who took over France. Does the establishment hate? I mean, I have no love lost with Bernie Sanders, but I've never called him a Nazi equivalent to the fall of France. Is this really how badly the establishment hates Bernie Sanders?
It's hatred and it's lazy, right? I mean, right. There is so much you can talk about in terms of policy with Bernie Sanders, particularly the most easy one, which is how will he possibly pay for free college, Medicare for all, Green New Deal? It's mathematically impossible. You tax everybody in the country 100%. So that's your stick to policy, but everybody has to put on a show. And Chris Matthews, I think, has lost it. I mean, let's face it. I mean, he's in his 70s. And he's been around for a long time. He do a lot of time, and I think just he doesn't think about what to say. And then no one holds him accountable afterwards to say that was wrong. He still hasn't apologized for this, and he won't because he doesn't have to.
Right. No, that's very important. One last one to go to the other extreme from Nazis to Russian agents. This is Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC talking about the president of the United States. Lawrence O'Donnell, cut 17.
The president is a Russian operative. That sounds like the description of a bad Hollywood screenplay, but it is real. And it is Vladimir Putin's greatest achievement. Decades after America's victory in the Cold War and the collapse of the Soviet Union, the president of the United States is now helping the president of Russia help the president of the United States to get reelected so that the president of Russia will have four more years of the president of the United States who he wants in the Oval Office. This is one of those shocking news days, if you retain the capacity to be shocked, in the Trump era by the Trump regime, which might be better labeled the Trump-Putin regime.
We only have 30 seconds left, but I need to know, Joe Concha, how does Lawrence O'Donnell, with one of the smallest audiences in America, get away with saying the president is a Russian operative?
Because the person that runs MSNBC does not have the cojones to stand up to him and say, you can't say things like that on the air. Yeah, I mean, even the West Wing, he used to write for the show The West Wing, for Mark O'Donnell. Even they would reject that script. Like, you can't say that. It's so ridiculous. Stop the hammering, Lawrence. Get off the air.
Stop the hammering. The TDS is real. Trump derangement syndrome is real. If you want to follow somebody who knows what he's talking about, his name is Joe Concha. Joe Concha TV on Twitter, and go to thehill.com for his writings. Thank you, Joe. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Back in a moment.
Oh, there he is. There's my guy. Good
Thank
job.
You,
How's
President.
Your new show going? Good?
Very well, thank
I
you.
Heard good.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Mr. President. Very good, very good. Let's talk about what's going on in the world today. But first things first, did you have a good night's sleep? If you didn't, will you allow me to suggest something? It's called My Pillow. It's invented and made by the great American Mike Lindell, who's coming with us on our Stand With Israel tour this December. And if you want to try his incredible products and you use my name, you'll get the biggest discount he has ever offered on TV or radio, 40% and free shipping. Go to mypillow.com or call 1-800-829-8468. That number, write it down, 1-800-829-8468, mypillow.com. You've got to use the secret code G-O-R-K-A to get that massive discount. Do we have Hogan Gidley on the line from the White House? Not yet. Okay, we are waiting to connect to the White House to find out what the latest news is from the trip to India. In the meantime, if you missed the rally this weekend, you have to hear some of the great cuts that the president has provided for us. Let's talk about America and the president's vision of our great nation. This is the president in Las Vegas on Friday, cut 15.
The World Trade Organization, probably an even worse deal for us than NAFTA, if that's possible. But under my administration, the great betrayal of America is over. America is no longer for sale.
America is no longer for sale. That's the vision of this nation under Donald Trump, and it is a beautiful vision. Let's take one of your calls here on America First. The number is 1-833-334-6752. Let's talk to Dave in Arizona. Line one, Dave, welcome to America First.
Thanks so much, Dr. G.
Sure.
This is going to be a critical election, and I think we need to take back the messaging. And the way to do that, I think, is with labeling. That's what the Democrats do well. So we need to call them projectocrats, because everything that they've accused President Trump of the last 3 years, they have been guilty of.
Projectocrats. I like that, David. I'm not sure it's going to stick. You have to think about it a little bit. It's not as easy as Mini Mike or some of the other branding the president has done. But yes, I agree with you. We have to take the narrative back. And somebody who understands very, very well how to do that is, of course, our friend from the White House, Hogan Gidley, deputy assistant to the president. Hogan, are you there?
I am.
I'm just going to read one thing that your colleague Dan Scavino, who I presume is with the president in India right now, just tweeted this out, and I love this. This is from the president in India. Quote, "In America and in India, we know that we are all born for a higher purpose, to each toward our fullest potential, to work toward excellence and perfection, and to give glory to God." Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Hogan, tell us about what's going on in India, because this isn't just, you know, big stadia and feel-good rallies. There's substance to this visit, isn't there, to the world's biggest democracy?
And there is. And look, I know it infuriates the Democrats. You know, the president can still pack in arenas in the United States, inside and outside. He goes overseas. They put 120,000 people in an arena, and you know, Democrats can't draw 120 total at a convention center in South Carolina. So I understand why they're upset. But the fact is, this president's doing more for trade deals and expanding our energy markets than anybody ever thought possible. And that's one of the reasons he decided to go to India and take Prime Minister Modi's gracious invitation to come see some of the changes the Prime Minister has been able to make in India and how we can partner on future projects. The Prime Minister has tried to do a complete revamping of the infrastructure there in India. We want to be a part of that. The energy markets actually have grown about 500% since Donald Trump came into office. Wow. With India, about $7 billion. But, you know, that never is enough for this president. He wants to keep going. So he's looking to expand those energy markets and also to continue to build relationships in the Indo-Pacific for, safety and security, fighting terrorism, and all the national security concerns we have as well. So they're going to meet about it. Hopefully we'll get even more trade with India that this president has already expanded in the first place. They do have such a good relationship and a good partnership. And the fact that he can go over there and talk about India as a democracy and a friend and ally of the United States is always a good thing.
He's Principal Deputy Press Secretary in the White House, Hogan Gidley. Follow him now, Hogan Gidley 45. I always tell people, when you have these big bilaterals, these big state visits, watch the body language. The body language is crucial. And when the President and the First Lady came down the steps of Air Force One, that hug with Prime Minister Modi, that tells you that this isn't just diplomacy, these are real friends. And there is something Trumpian about what Prime Minister Modi is trying to do. He really is, you know, the Trump doctrine of America First really translates nicely into kind of India First and draining the swamp, doesn't it, Hogan?
Absolutely. It's America First, but it's not America alone. And that's on display here with this meeting, this state visit, this friendship, this partnership. Every person elected to hold office, you know, internationally, are focusing on their own countries first. This president's no different. But at the same time, it doesn't mean we want other countries to fail. We can work together to ensure safety, security, and economic growth and expansion across the globe. And that's exactly what the president is doing in India. I've been in bilaterals with Prime Minister Modi on multiple occasions. You're right. The body language is key, and they are always facing toward each other, always laughing, telling jokes. You remember, I think it was the Prime Minister who slapped his hand so hard, it caused it to bruise the last time. He was so happy at something the president had said. So it's interesting to watch them together, but it benefits America, and it benefits the region as well, and that's what's important.
From the U.S. to Brexit, to India, to Australia, the movement for a new government in these nations that represents the people is a global phenomenon. As Hogan said, America first, but not America alone. And we are standing shoulder to shoulder with that great democracy, India, and its new Prime Minister, Prime Minister Modi. Follow this man. Thank you, Hogan. At Hogan Gidley, G-I-D-L-E-Y 45, Hogan Gidley, Deputy Assistant to the President. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Back to your calls next here on America First, 1-833-334-6752.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
Let's go back to the president and his latest rally. Let's talk about freedom in a city, Las Vegas, that understands what MAGA is about. This is the president of the United States from Friday, Cut 16.
We stand on the shoulders of red-blooded American patriots who poured out their heart, sweat, and soul to secure our liberty and to defend our great, beautiful, lovely freedom. 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 Freedom.
Freedom. Freedom. Freedom. But not everybody was happy. Of course, the left, they were very, very sad. Why? Because the members of the 1980 Miracle on Ice hockey team came up to the podium. The president invited them up to the podium. And what did we see? The majority of them proudly wearing their Make America and Keep America Great hats. And the reaction from the left was predictable. It was Friday was, by the way, the eve, the day before the 40th anniversary of that historic event where the American team beat the Soviet Union 4-3 in probably the best hockey match ever played. Soledad O'Brien was very sad. She tweeted, "Oh, so disappointed by the 1980 Miracle team. I loved watching that game as a kid with my dad. Loved watching the movie with my kids. To see them on stage in MAGA hats. Kind of crushing, I have to say." Poor Soledad. The best response in the Twitterverse was from our friend Michael Knowles of the Daily Wire, who retweeted Soledad O'Brien's tweet with the following commentary. "You're disappointed that the team that famously defeated communists still wants to defeat communists." Oh, I bet that stung. Yes, indeed. They defeated the Soviet Union in 1980, and now they're standing up with a man who wants to defeat the threat of communism here in America. Other incredible responses on the Twitterverse. Here we go. These are nameless tweets responding to Soledad O'Brien. "Loving America is crushing you, eh? Yes. How coincidental. The 1980 Miracle team was just saying how disappointed they are in you, Soledad O'Brien." This is the choice. This is the very, very simple choice. We were there with Mr. G, with our producer Jeff, on the floor of that stadium in Orlando when the president launched his re-election campaign last year. And in preparation for that event, his son warmed up the audience with a very... I mean, he has a political career in front of him because he was in his element and he had one thing to say. November the 3rd, 2020, is very simply the choice between liberty and socialism. And Don Jr. had it right. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting from the mobilereliefactor.com studios. Don't touch that dial.